I wanted to do the sugya of Birchas HaMitzvos, because again, we're trying to pick sugyas that aren't so Pesach related in Maseches Pesachim, and Birchas HaMitzvos comes up all the way at the beginning. There are a lot of good sugyas that have come up since then, but we're still working through the beginning of the first parak. So let's just quickly go through the Gemara. We're going to go through one basic issue in Rishonim tonight and see where it takes us. The Gemara tells us, Amar of Yehuda, Bodik Svarach Sheyvarach, it's source number one, Gemara Pesachim Dav Zainam Ralef. Person does Bidikas Chametz, he has to make a bracha. Good, so my mevarich, what should the nusach of the bracha be? What is the text of the bracha? Rav Papi Amar Mishmei de Rava, Leva'er Chametz. The nusach of the bracha is with a lamed Leva'er Chametz. And Rav Papa Amar Mishmei de Rava, Al Biur Chametz. So it's a machlokas whether the nusach is Leva'er or Al Biur. So says the Gemara, Bil Leva'er Kuliam Lo Pligi Devade Lahaba Mashma. Certainly Leva'er implies something that you're about to do. It implies a bracha that's being made over Las Yasan, which the Gemara goes on to say later in the Sugya is something all Birchas HaMitzvos are supposed to be said before you do the mitzvah. So Leva'er certainly accomplishes that. That it gives the impression that you have not yet done the mitzvah, that this is to do this mitzvah coming up. Ki pligi ba'al biur. But the machlokas is, what about the lashon of al biur? Mar savar meikara mashma, umar savar lahaba mashma. So that's the machlokas. Does al biur imply something that was already done? Al biur implying that the biur is already in this world, it's already happened? Or is al biur also, to also give off the impression that it can mean something that has not yet been done? So that's what the machlokas is all about. The machlokas, whether it's leva'er, or al biur. Good. So all of the Rishonim are bothered by the same issue, and that is that our Gemara is the one Gemara that actually discusses a particular bracha and whether the proper nusach should have been al or li. But there are dozens and dozens of brachos that either have a nusach of al or li. And obviously it wasn't chosen at random. There's a reason why some brachos have a nusach of al and other brachos have a nusach of li. And they try to figure out, but the Gemara never tells us what the one reason is that covers everything. That really, what the rule is that governs all the different brachos. So what all of the Rishonim essentially do is they come up with their rule, their one rule, and then they try to be metarei to all the exceptions, because there is no single rule that really covers every single bracha. And the raya that there can't possibly be a rule that covers every single bracha is because there are certain mitzvos that have both an al and a li. For instance, every single morning we put on tefillin and we make a bracha, or at least Ashkenazim, we make two brachas. We make a bracha lahaniach tefillin and al mitzvos tefillin. So whatever rule you're going to have, which kind of mitzvos get a li, which kind of mitzvos get an al, or how are you going to explain tefillin? Tefillin seems to get both. So what I'd like to do is focus a little bit on some of these approaches in the Rishonim as to how to deal with when we say al, when we say le, and we'll see where we bounce from there. Just a quick ha'ara before we go on to that. The Gemara says that the halacha, if you look at the end of the first paragraph in source number one, v'hilchasa al biur chametz, which is a little bit surprising, because we said everyone agrees, everyone holds kuliyam lo pligi, that when it comes to leva'er, it's lahaba mashma, that leva'er is something that you will do, not something that you have done, it's over las yasan. Al biur is a machloka. So, and we know that the bedikas chametz is done over las yasan. So you make the bracha before you do the bedikas chametz. So it would seem that we might as well go with the one that's not a machlokas. Go with the approach that definitely works. So it's a little bit surprising that the Gemara chooses the halacha of al biur chametz rather than go with the thing that obviously works. So all of the Rishonim point out, the Rush in source number 3 points this out, that when it comes to brachos, for some reason, particularly in the world of brachos, we try to show off how smart we are. That when if we have a decision to make, it's better to say the bracha that was in doubt, to demonstrate that we know how to learn, that we know how to paskin a shayla, that this bracha should go a certain way, rather than to go with the safe nusach bracha. And the raya to that is the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Nun. The Gemara says, "Mi berchoso shel adam nikar shetamid chacham hu," that you can tell from the way a person says a bracha that he's a talmud chacham. So when you say a bracha, and the Gemara tells us the story that people were praising Rav Zvid to Rabbi Zeira, they were telling and Rav Zeri, you know this Rav Zvid, he's such an Adam Gadol, he's a bucky in brachos, he knows everything. So Rav Zeri said, oh yeah, Rav Zvid said, oh yeah, Rav Zeri said, oh yeah, bring Rav Zvid to me when next time he's in town. So they brought Rav Zvid to Rav Zera, and he served him some bread, and he watched him very carefully. He said, okay, time to wash. He washed, okay, he did what he was supposed to do, he made an alantil sidayim, his stomach, okay, wanted to see what he was going to make on the bread, and he said, motzi lechem min ha'aretz. And right away, Rabbi Zera was unimpressed. This is the guy that you say is a baki in brachos. He said motzi, not hamotzi. Now the Gemara says motzi is definitely correct. Hamotzi is a machlokas. So why did Rabbi Zera get so upset? He says, because what kind of big posek is he? He went with the safest bracha. He went with the thing that's obviously correct. What would have been much more impressive is if he would have paskin the shaila correctly. It's a shaila about hamotzi, and if he would have been able to say hamotzi, that would have meant something to me. So the Rishon would connect that to our sugya as well. The reason the Gemara paskins al bir chametz is because you should say a bracha in a way that shows that we know how to learn, not just to say a bracha in the safest possible way, which sort of is, you know, goes against a lot of our intuition in dealing with halacha. A lot of times intuitively we think we should always go with the safest possible thing. But when a person is able to paskin, you should always paskin. The Rosh Hashanah likes to say a person should not paskin la anius daiti. Should never paskin out of anius hadas. It should always be out of ashiras hadas. If a person is going to paskin, he should paskin because he knows that he knows what he's talking about. He should have confidence to be able to paskin halacha. Okay, that's just a side point. But now let's go through some of the approaches in Rishonim to deal with when we say al and when we say le. Take a look at source number 3 at the bottom in the Rush, 3 lines from the bottom of the Rush. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam. He says in that line where I have Rabbeinu Tam underlined a little earlier on the line, Umash shechilku b'matbea brachos, yesh men shetiknu ba'al, v'yesh men shetiknu b'lamid. Some brachos we have an al, some brachos we have a lamid. Rabbeinu Tam zal hayonosin tam ledavar. Rabbeinu Tam explained it as follows: De kol mitzvos dinasos miyad shayich levarich alein al. Any mitzvah that happens immediately, the bracha is al. Kigon al mikra megillah. You say the bracha, you read the megillah, done. Al hatvila. You say the bracha, you dip in the mikvah, done. Al netilas yadayim, etc. Al afrashas chuma, al achilas matzah, al achilas maror. Aval, lehaniach tvilin, lehisatev betzisis, vileshev basuka, yeshben shihui. What do those brachas have in common? Tzitzis, tvilin, sukkah. It's not just a moment and you're done. It's an extended period of time that a person remains all day long with his tzitzis and with his tefillin. Person lives in the sukkah all week long. A person's living in the sukkah. Va'aloshem mara al kach lihios mu'utar b'tefillin. It's not a bracha on the maisa of putting on tefillin. It's a bracha on being crowned with your tefillin. Lihios atuf b'tzitzis v'leishev bas. You spend all day in the sukkah. Now, what about, says, okay, so that's the rule. So first of all, what jumps off the page is one of the examples that he included in the rule is tefillin. And he only he went with half of it. He went with the bracha of laniach tefillin and said, oh, that makes a lot of sense because you wear tefillin all day, so it's going to be lit, it's not going to be al. But what about al mitzvah tefillin? So, and tzitzis also is a good question. But well, you could say that each day, let's say, or something like that, meaning when you leave for an extended period of time, it's going to be bracha, but when you come in, it's still the way the mitzvah is accomplished is that it's there for a while. So that's one issue, but then he starts dealing with some of these issues on his own. And he says, what about Ner Chanukah? So, ulahadlik Ner Chanukah, yeshihoi b'mitzvasa. Why is it lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah or Ner Chanukah? Because it's an extended mitzvah. Who says an extended mitzvah? K'darmin b'malikin mitzvasa mishetishka achama shetichla regel minashuk. Because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's a one-moment maisa, but the Ner has to remain lit. So this is a little bit different already. When it comes to tzitzis, when it comes to tefillin, I'm wearing it the whole time. When it comes to sukkah, I'm in the sukkah. My Ner Chanukah, I can light for a second, walk away, have nothing to do with it the whole rest of the time, be completely removed from it, and it would still be good enough. Not only that, we pass in kafsa in zakukla. Even if it blew out a second later, it would still be kosher. So the mitzvah really is in the moment, but he says maybe you could still be metaretz, though that at least as a lechatchila, you need to have, or certainly even b'dieved, you need to have the amount of oil that would last ad shetich l'regel min hashuk. So therefore it's considered a shihui zman, it's considered to be an extended mitzvah. What about, he says, v'chein l'shmoa kol shofar? What about blowing the shofar? How long does it take already to blow the shofar? What did he say? Al Mikra Megillah, that's immediate. So you say, Al Mikra Megillah, boom, you read the Megillah. How long does it take to read the Megillah and how long does it take to blow a shofar? We're talking about 30 kolos. What does it take to blow 30 kolos? A lot shorter than it takes even the fastest Bal Kore. I guess it depends who's blowing, but if I were trying to blow out 30 kolos, it would take me longer. But even the 30 kosher kolos. But even the fastest Bal Kore can never get it done in a shorter time. So he says, Yeshu elav saka benatkios. The Iker Mitzvah Shofar say there are brachos. He says, yeah, it's true. You don't say the Mitzvah Shofar 30 kolos, but that's not the way it's really supposed to be done. So not only do we look at the Kiyumah Mitzvah, we look at the ideal Kiyumah Mitzvah. We look at the Mitzvah Namuvchar. How is the Mitzvah really supposed to be done? The best way to do the Mitzvah is by extending it over the Seder HaBrachos. Malchios, Chronos, Shofros, we stick it into the Shemona Esrei. Fine.
So it's probably the same thing that comes down.
Oh, okay, good. So you can say the same thing by Ner Chanukah. Good. Where Kav says Zakla. The Umasha in Mavarchan al Kriyas Hahalel, Vanu Mavarchan al Mikra Megillah. But he says, okay, so let's go back to Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is something that you read, right? And it takes whatever it takes, at least a half hour, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, takes time. When it comes to Kriyas Hallel, Kriyas Hallel takes a shorter amount of time. So why is it that Ein Mevarchin al Kriyas Hallel, and we are Mevarich al Mikra Megillah, right? So he says, Hainu time will fisha karmas ha-Megillah below hefsik, al Kriyas Hallel mafsikin v'atzibur on Rashi Psukim. So what's he saying? That when it comes to Megillah, the Bal Kori reads and no one ever stops him. Whoever interrupts, whoever heard anyone banking in the middle of the Megillah or making strange noises, we don't do something like that. You just read. It doesn't stop in the middle. But when it comes to Hallel, there are a lot of breaks in the middle. What are the breaks? Because you have to say Miravaniya. It has to be said responsibly. So there are many parts that are said responsibly. The whole thing is said responsibly, really. So since it's said responsibly, that's considered a break, so it's not all at one time. This is very typical of how the Rishonim approach this kind of sugya. They come up with a rule, and then they show you that the rule isn't perfect. That there are a lot of exceptions to the rule, and not everything seems to fit as well as it should. But let's just analyze what Rabbeinu Tam maybe is trying to say. Rav Asher Weiss points out in his Minchas Ashram Psachim that really one could understand Rabbeinu Tam in two different ways. One possible way to understand what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that any mitzvah that the actual doing of the mitzvah, the achilas matzah, the hafrashas trumas maizos, the bir chametz, where that is the entire mitzvah, that's an al. That's a mitzvah that gets an al. Any mitzvah that's not a din in a maisa, rather it's a din in a continued mitzius, in a state of being, an ongoing state of being, to be wearing tzitzis, to be wearing tefillin, that there should be tzitzis on your begadim, there should be tefillin on your head and on your arm, that the mitzvah is not the putting on of the tefillin, the putting on of the tzitzis, the mitzvah is the state of being of wearing the tefillin, wearing the tzitzis, being in the sukkah. The mitzvah is not walking into the sukkah. That's the famous discussion, the Rambam and the Ravid, where the Rambam says that when you make kiddush in the sukkah, the kiddush should be said standing up. Different than every other kiddush. Rambam holds every other kiddush should be said sitting down. Kiddush in the sukkah should be said standing up. Why? Over las yasan. Because you have to make the bracha before you sit down, because the bracha is leishev basukkah, so you don't want to make the bracha when you're already sitting. So the achronim and the rishonim already jump all over that Rambam. What are you talking about? You're already in the sukkah. You're already being yotzei the mitzvah. The mitzvah of leishev basukkah doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. The mitzvah, when we say leishev basukkah, it means to live in the sukkah. So when you're already in there, it's too late. The mitzvah is not walking into the sukkah, though. The mitzvah is just the state of continually being in the sukkah. So if that's the case, then the bracha is going to be with a lamin, with a lit. So that's leishev basukkah. That's one way of understanding Rabbeinu Tam. Is the focus the maisa, or is the focus a continued state of being? Or Or the second way of understanding Rabbeinu Tam is it's not about how to be magdir the mitzvah. It's not about is this mitzvah a din in the maisa or is it a din in the state of being. It's much more practical. It's a matter of time. How long does it take? Any mitzvah that bepoel takes a long time, that's a lid, that gets a lamed. Any mitzvah that when you do it, it's done, there is no long time associated with it, that's an al. So it's more about the time than being magdir the mitzvah. L'may nafkamina, whenever you have two approaches, so you always have to, it's, chakira is only as good as the nafkaminas between the chakira. So one nafkamina might be as follows. The Ramban, when he quotes this sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, he quotes it in the name of the Ravid. The Ramban rejects it based on the fact that we make a bracha l'shmoa kol shofar, even though the mitzvah is in the maisa of tekiah. So you see, it's a mitzvah that's about a maisa. It's not about a state of being of being. It's not a state of being anything. It's just a mitzvah of blowing shofar. So he says, why is it l'shmoa? It should be al tekiah shofar, al shmia shofar. Why is it l'shmoa kol shofar? That's how the Ramban rejects Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, but apparently the Rosh isn't bothered by that kasha. Rabbeinu Tam didn't seem to be bothered by that kasha. So what's the point of dispute? Maybe this is the point of the dispute. The Ramban doesn't like any of the terutzim, meaning how would Rabbeinu Tam answer it? So the Rosh is bothered by the kasha, but he says that by shofar there is a shiuhei zman because you need to be tokeya al seder habrachos. So it does take a long time. There's the Seder HaBrachos, there's the Malchus, the Chron HaShofros, right? That's what we saw in the Rosh. It's not something that happens immediately. So why didn't the Ramban doesn't know that you're supposed to say it, al Seder HaBrachos? Why didn't the Ramban accept that answer? But maybe this is the Nakuda, that the Ramban doesn't like it, that answer, because he understands that the Svara is that it all depends on that only a mitzvah that b'mitzius takes a long time, you make a bracha leh, not a mitzvah that the yisod of the mitzvah is an asiya, that whenever the yisod of the mitzvah is an asiya, that it's just a maisa, meaning like the first side, that it's about how to be magdir the bracha, it's about is how to be magdir the mitzvah, is this a mitzvah that's in a maisa or in a mitzvah that's in a state of being. So shofar, yeah, you explained how it actually takes a long time, but there is no state of being by shofar. By shofar, the mitzvah is clearly the maisa. It's doing the tekiah or listening to the shofar. That's actually an interesting discussion that we've shown, which it is. But it's one of those things. It's clearly a din in the maisa. Whereas the Rosh understands that no, the issue is just how long does it take. It's not about how to be magdir the mitzvah. Is it a din in the maisa or is it a din in the time? It's just how long does it take? Does it take a long time? The Rosh says, yeah, shofar takes a long time because you got to do malchus achronos shofros. So if it takes a long time, that's why it gets lishmoa called shofar. It's one possible nafkamina.
It doesn't answer the
It doesn't answer the
it's
Megillah.
All,
what?
No matter what you do, it takes a while.
The Megillah. So, meaning you're saying if you. So the Rush said it's not considered to really take a while because there are no breaks.
Right.
As long as you don't stop, that's not called taking a while. So you have to just define what it means to take a while. Taking a while doesn't mean an extended period of time necessarily, or it has to mean an extended period of time because Sukkah, there are no breaks either. Right, for an extended period, tzitzis, there's no breaks, tefillin, there's no breaks, and still it's called taking a while, so it must be either or, either something that takes a very long period of time, or something that has breaks and then continues. That's what I guess you'd have to say according to the Rosh. Another possible nafkamina, what about the bracha of Ner Chanukah? Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, you light it, and that second you yotzei. So what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Yeah, but you need to put in enough shemen that it's going to last such a tichle regal nashuk. So therefore, it's not considered that the asiya is the gemar mitzvah. So why does the Ramban reject Rabbeinu Tam? What's wrong with that answer? Maybe the Ramban. So the Ramban doesn't like that. The Ramban rejects Rabbeinu Tam from the Chanukah also. Why does the Ramban not like? We're not going to read it all inside. But the Ramban is in the Maamar Kamos. Why does he not like the Rabbeinu Tam? Because he holds, the Ramban would say, the mitzvah is still the halakha. Halakha also mitzvah. Kavsa. When you do the hadlaka, that's the mitzvah. If it gets extinguished, you don't have to go back and relight it. Clearly, we're magdir the mitzvah with this ma'is hadlaka. It's not a state of being, of having neros being lit in your house. It is doing the ma'is hadlaka in your house. So what's Rabbeinu Tam going to say? Yeah, I don't care that it's about the Maisa. I just need to know that it gets extended over a period of time. And as long as it gets extended over a period of time, that's called the Shiyuei's Man. That's called that the mitzvah is extended. That's the approach of Rabbeinu Tam. But again, it seems like one approach, but it's really two ways of understanding Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam's basic chiluk is brachos, mitzvos that happen right away, and mitzvos that take a long time. And there are two ways of understanding it. Does he mean the first way that we're being magdu the mitzvah is in a mitzvah that's totally in a maisa versus a mitzvah that's totally in a state of being? Or is it no, it's just a matter of practicality. How long does it take? Does it happen immediately or does it take a period of time? The Ramban seems to go with the first approach. The Rush's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam seems to be like the second approach of Rabbeinu Tam. But let's take a look at one more detail within Rabbeinu Tam. If you take a look at source number two, Tosos and Maseches Pesachim. Tosos writes, so the Gemara said, "Bilavair kuliyam lo pligi de labam mashma." Livair clearly implies going forward, right, for the future. Mikano yematzrich Rashbal devarich lifnei hamila lehachniso. That's why the Rashba said you have to make the bracha lehachniso briso shel Avraham Avinu before the mila. Di la'achra mila yishaka bibrachaso. Because if you're making it after the mila, it's a lie. De lahachniso la'abam ashma. Lahachniso always implies, that's the one there was no doubt about, it always implies something that you're going to do. Va'od shetzarech levarech over la'asiyaso. And in general, stam, a birchas mitzvah should be done over la'asiyaso. Forget about that the words themselves sound like a lie. Every birchas mitzvah, if you could help it, should be done over la'asiyaso. So lahachniso, so when do we make lahachniso? We don't know, because normally when the Avi Abed makes lachniso, he's closing his eyes. He doesn't want to know what's going on at the time that he's making the lachniso. But we try to sort of hedge it a little bit. The mole says, quick, lachniso, as he's about to do right after he says the alamila. So says Rabbeinu Tam, v'lo nirle Rabbeinu Tam, de perek rab lozer de mila, tanya hamol omer, asher kishar mitzol tzvitzvanu al hamila, Avi Aben omer lachniso, mashma li achar hamila makomo. The Gemara says, the Mo'el says, Alamila, then the Avi Aben says, Lachniso. The implication is, the Mo'el is going to say, Alamila, and then do the Mila. And the Mila takes a second, it doesn't take that long. And then the Avi Aben is going to say, Lachniso, afterwards. What about the fact that our Gemara says, Le always means something in the future? Afal gav de Lachniso, mashmela ba lo kasha, de lo al zos hana'asa achshav mevarech, when a father makes a bracha lachniso briso shel Avraham Avinu, he is not making a bracha on bringing this baby into briso shel Avraham Avinu. He's making a bracha about the wonderful mitzvah of mila that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to all Jews since the time of Avraham Avinu, which means, sounds like he's saying, it's not a birchas mitzvah at all. It's a birchas shevach valda. This is not a bracha that is made on a mitzvah. It's a bracha that's a thank you Hashem for giving such a beautiful mitzvah, allowing us to enter into your covenant. And it's a way of demonstrating shezua mila nasa l'shem yotzreinu, v'lo l'shem avodazara, v'lo l'shem murna, v'lo l'shem hagrizim. And it's also a way of showing that even though many religions may do mila for a variety of different reasons, we're doing it l'shem shemayim. How do I demonstrate I'm doing it l'shem shemayim? By thanking Hashem for the mitzvah of mila right then and there at the mila. But it's not mebirchas mitzvah. Now, one good raya that Rabbeinu Tam is correct, that it's not a birchas mitzvah. Well, what's the best raya that it's not a birchas mitzvah? Before you eat matzah, how many birchas mitzvah do you make? Make alechil's matzah, one. Before you eat mar, how many birchas mitzvah? One. Before you take lulav, how many birchas mitzvah? One. Every mitzvah gets one birchas mitzvah. Why would you make two birchas mitzvah? It just wouldn't make sense to make two birchas mitzvah on the same mitzvah. So that's probably a little bit where Rabbeinu Tam is coming from also. Now, there's one exception to that rule, and we mentioned it already. Tefillin. Right? Tefillin we seem to make two. Not only do we make, so one could argue, well, wait a second, who says it's one mitzvah? We make one on the Shel Yad, one on the Shel Rosh. So maybe it's those are two separate mitzvahs. So then we get into that whole discussion, whether Shel Yad and Shel Rosh are separate mitzvahs or one mitzvah. But here's the problem. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosos and Maseches Brachos. I didn't put it in the Mar Mekomos. Rav Shechter quotes this whole shtickel I'm about to say in Eretz HaTzvi. Rav Shechter says this whole shtickel in Eretz HaTzvi in Simon Gimel. Rabbeinu Tam writes in Maseches Brachos that if a person puts on only Shel Rosh, he doesn't have a Shel Yad. So he's only putting on a Shel Rosh. What bracha do you make? So what would you say? What bracha do you make? Leniach or al mitzvahs? You say al mitzvahs, right? That's what you make on Shalom. Says Rabbeinu Tam, both. Laniach and al mitzvahs. Okay, so now we can no longer say, well, they're two separate mitzvahs, that's why it's two separate brachos. Even when you're only doing one of them, you're only putting on Shel Rosh, you're making two separate brachos. The Gra, the Bir Gra, and Orchaim Sim Chafei doesn't understand this. What's he talking about? Why would you make two separate brachos on a single mitzvah? So Rav Shechter suggests the following mahalich. So let's think about Mila. Mila also, we said that there are two brachos, and the Balei HaTosfos are bothered. The Tosfos Rid asked this kasha explicitly, Mehechitesi, two brachos on the same mitzvah. Where do you ever find such a thing? So the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam that we saw seems to be that one bracha is a birchas mitzvah, the other bracha is a birchas shavach v'hoda'a. So says the Taz, that's what Rabbeinu Tam means, and you find a very similar idea. The Taz says it shouldn't be so shocking that as we're doing a mitzvah, what seems to be a mitzvah, we're making a birchas shavach v'hoda'a on a mitzvah. There's another mitzvah that we are mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a bracha at the time of the mitzvah, rather than saying a birchas mitzvah, and that is by Erusin. When you get married, it's shasalanu esarusos, v'itzalanu esanusus, lanu edichubah v'kiddushin, and the Rosh writes in Maseches Ksuvos, that is not a birchas mitzvah, it doesn't even sound like a birchas mitzvah, that is a birchas shevach v'oda. So this is just like that. Lachniso briso shel Avraham Avinu is just like the bracha on Erusin. The problem with that, and that's how the Taz says in Yaradei and Siman Aleph, that's what Rabbeinu Tam means to say, that it's Bircha Shevach Voda, and that's why it would be a second bracha by Mila. Now that would not explain Tefillin, because no one's saying that the second bracha in Tefillin is a Bircha Shevach Voda, but that would explain Mila. The problem with even explaining Mila that way is that Erusin is a little bit different. The Birchas Erusin is a little bit different than the Bracha of Lachniso B'Risu Shel Avraham Avinu. What's the Rosh's major raya that the Birchas Erusin is not a Birchas Mitzvah? The Rosh says, just look at the Bracha. It doesn't sound like a Birchas Mitzvah. It's a whole Megillah. It's five lines long. The Birchas Mitzvah is Asher Kishon Sosu Mitzvanu to do this. Period, and that's it. That's the whole mitzvah. That's the whole bracha. The Rosh is bothered. Where do we ever make a bracha on an iser? On what a Kodesh Baruch Hu asked us? Do you make a bracha before you do a shechita? Sha'asalanu evrim in achai. You don't make such brachos on what's asr. That's what leads the Rosh to say it's a bircha shevach v'oda. What's the bracha, the second bracha by Mila? La'achniso bebriso shel Avraham Avinu. That's asher kedushanu sosu tzivanu. Right, that's a bracha, that's very clearly a short nosach, and very clearly sounds like a birchas mitzvah. So, the pashtus is, it sounds that lahachniso is going to be a little bit more difficult to explain. So Rav Shachter explains with the following yisod. He says, maybe there's a different type of birchas mitzvah that we're not used to. We're used to birchas mitzvah being on a maisa mitzvah. We've discussed in the past the difference between making a bracha on a maisa versus a kiyum a mitzvah. That we don't make a bracha on a kiyum, we make a bracha on a maisa. The greatest raya, according to those rishonim, that Sfiras HaOmer is one long mitzvah, right? And therefore, if you miss one night, you lose it, even though we don't really pass in that way, make radin. But according to those rishonim, that it's one long mitzvah, and if you miss one night, you lose it. How in the world do they explain why we make a separate bracha every single night if it's one long mitzvah? Well, because the birchas mitzvah is not made on the kiyum mitzvah, which happens after 49 nights. It's a bracha on the maisa mitzvah, and there happen to be 49 separate actions involved in accomplishing that kiyum. So we're used to that idea. A bracha, most maisa mitzvah comes along with a kiyum immediately. That's why the Sfira Somer is a good example where it's separate from each other. But brachas generally are made on a maisa mitzvah. But maybe there's another kind of bracha. Rav Shechter suggests maybe in addition to a bracha on a maisa mitzvah, where only the osa mitzvah, only the person doing it, can make the bracha if it's on the maisa. Maybe there's also such a thing as a bracha on a chalos, that in addition to the maisa, let's say by mila, in addition to the maisa of doing the mila, and we've discussed this many times as well, the three elements of bris mila, the iser to be an arel, the mitzvah of doing a maisa mila, but then there's a third element, lihios mahul, to be mahul, to walk around your whole life being mahul. If a person is mosheich bar alaso, it doesn't take away from the maisa mila that was done when he was a baby or whenever he did his mila, but the lihios mahul is lacking because he is no longer gemalt. Right? That's the din. There's a chalos that comes because of that maisa that remains with that child for a long time. The chalos of being a ben bris, and that's what makes the guy kosher for avodah zarah karbanos, for eating kodshim, karban pesach most notably, because every Jewish person has to be able to do that. So that's what the second bracha maybe is on. First bracha is on the maisa mitzvah of mila. Second bracha, lachnisa brisa shel Avraham Avinu, that's on the being in the bris, on the chalos, on the fact that, he says, maybe that's why the Rabbeinu Tam does not require that the person doing the maisa make that second bracha. And by every other birchsa mitzvah, the guy doing the mitzvah has to make the bracha. Right? The moel has to make the bracha. He's the one doing the mitzvah. Why is it that the Aviyah Ben makes the second bracha? Because that's not a din in the Maisa. That's a din in a chalos that's nogea to all of Klal Yisrael. Because all of Klal, vis-a-vis all of Klal Yisrael, this person is now a Ben Bris. He's now a member of our tribe. That's nogea to everybody. And therefore someone else can make that bracha because it's nogea to everybody. And that's why you could even make the bracha, or should even make the bracha, la'acharasiyaso. A regular birchsa mitzvah, which is on a maisa mitzvah, so you make it right before the maisa. That's over la'asiyason. La'asiyason is not just a word, it means to the maisa, before you do the maisa. But when it's not a bracha on a maisa, it's a bracha on a chalos, so wait till the chalos is there, and then be mevarich on that chalos.
So are we answering now what type of bracha it is, or why does this type of bracha?
Both.
Right, what you're saying.
Right, both. So that's in terms of bris. We still haven't gone back to explain tefillin, which we will in a second. But let's first apply this yisod. Rav Shechter applies this yisod in a number of places. He says, first of all, he thinks that's what Tosfos means in our Tosfos. He says that when Tosfos says that we're mishat, it's not on this Maisa Mila, he means, yeah, not on this Maisa Mila, on the Chalos that comes about because of this Maisa Mila. That's what it's on. It's not impersonal. It's not a bracha. I mean, the way we understood Rabbeinu Tam is, Stam, Birch Shevach Vada. Really, you could say it at any time. Right now, I could just make a bracha, Achnisa B'Rish Shalav Rom Avinu, because it's just really nice that there are Jews that get a bris, and thank you God for the mitzvah. It's a wonderful mitzvah. But according to this approach, no, it is about what's going on right then and there at that bris Mila. It's about this child being brought into the bris, lachniso, to bring him into the bris. It's not stam about the idea that people are nichnas into the bris. So that's what he suggests in terms of the mila. Now, where else do we have this? So he suggests maybe the same is true by birchas erusin. See, Rabbeinu Tam does associate birchas erusin with the bracha by mila. Rabbeinu Tam himself writes that the Rabbeinu Tam himself seems to put them together, birchas erusin and the bracha lahachniso. So it seems like they have the same reason. But Rav Shechter points out maybe that Rabbeinu Tam doesn't hold like the Rush, that it's tam a birchas shevach voda. Maybe the birchas erusin is also a birchas mitzvah, but a different kind of birchas mitzvah. Not on the maisa mitzvah of doing the kiddushin, but a bracha on the chalos, a bracha on the fact that there is a woman that is now an eshes ish, that there's a chalos ishus over here, there's a zika of ishus, there's a connection of ishus. And that's why we mention the isra rayos, and the isra of arusos, and the heter of nesuos, because all of that explains the chalos that just happened. All of that is it's the definition of the chalos, it's the definition of ishus, that now she is arayos to everybody else in the world, that she was an arusa before, now she's not an arusa anymore. All of it is a description of the ishus. Now when it comes to birchas erusin, there are major discussions in the poskim with regard to this issue of birchas erusin, birchas mitzvah, or is it a birchas chada. Most notable amongst them is, shouldn't the chasan be the one to make the bracha? He's the one doing the erusin. So if you hold the birchas shevach vodah, so that explains why the Masada Kiddushin makes the bracha and not the chasan. Right? But if you hold the birchas mitzvah, the chasan should make the bracha. Why doesn't he make the bracha? So some of the Rishonim already explained, because he's likely not to know the bracha. It's hard to remember all those words, and they didn't have these nice little cards, and not everyone knew how to read. So it's just easier to have the Masada Kiddushin make the bracha. But the chassan has to listen, and he has to be motzi the chassan, because it's really the chassan's bracha, if you hold it's birch a mitzvah, right? So the chassan has to be able to hear. So the Nadavid is a tshuva, what if the chassan's deaf? What if the chasen and the kala are deaf? Maybe it's the kala's bracha also. What if the chasen and the kala are deaf? Do you still make a birchas erusin? So now the Yehuda says, well, if it's a birchas mitzvah, no, because the guy doing the mitzvah has to. But according to what Rav Schechter is saying, even if it's a birchas mitzvah, it's a different kind of birchas mitzvah. It's a birchas mitzvah not in the maisa, which has to be done by the person doing the maisa, has to be said by the person doing the maisa. It's a birchas mitzvah on the chalos. And somebody else can do that also. Somebody else who's witnessing that chalos can do it. Not shevach v'odah, it's a birchas mitzvah, but a birchas mitzvah on the chalos. Another example of where we have such an idea of birchas mitzvah on the chalos, the Rambam writes in the sixth parak of Erevin, that just like we make a bracha on Eruvei Chatzeros, just like we make a bracha on Shitufei Mavuos, so too you should make a bracha on Eruvei Tchum. When you make an Eruv Chatzeros, so now you can carry throughout the Chatzar, Shitufei Mavuos, you can carry in the whole neighborhood. When you extend your own personal Tchum beyond 2,000 Amos in one direction, you make a bracha on that Eruv. So the Ravid says, what do you mean? Asher Kedushonim, Tzolz V'Tzolim, who told you you have to extend your Tchum? Eruvei Chatzeros, Shitufei Mavuos, Takana Shloma Melech, that there is such a concept that you can be that, so that's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Good, so you're going to make a bracha. But that, what am I doing by Eruv Tchum? Right, that's not Shek Shom Sos Tzadu. What am I doing by Eruv Tchum? I'm saying I don't live here, I live here. So you make a bracha when you move, a birchus a mitzvah when you move. You don't make a birchus a mitzvah, it's you may make a hatova meitiv probably when you buy a house for a family or whatever. But you don't make a bracha when you move. So it's not a mitzvah. So what's going on? That's the kasha that the Ravid asks on the Rambam. So says Rav Schechter, maybe that the Rambam assumes, he says, b'pshuta, what the Rambam is trying to say is that it's a bracha on the chalos heter that comes al yedei, that eruv. Now there is a heter to carry. It's not on the maisa of placing the eruv, because he had no requirement to do that, no mitzvah to do that. But there is a chalos with that eruv. And a chalos can require a birchas mitzvah. So as another example, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Zayin and Beis, starts discussing the bracha on tevila. So if you hold tevila bizman a mitzvah, it's a big machlokas in the Rishonim. Is tevila bizman a mitzvah or is tevila bizman a lav mitzvah? Do you have to go to the mikvah on time? So nowadays, when a woman goes to the mikvah, it's never on time, meaning in terms of tevila bizmana, because we added so many chumras d'rabban, by the time we let her go to the mikvah, it's already way past the ikra din, real time for tevila bizmana. If tevila bizmana were mitzvah, you would do it even if she couldn't have bia, even if she couldn't have tashmish. The mikvah would be open on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Tevila bizmana mitzvah, because you got to do it in the right zman. Okay, we close our mikvahs Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. We still recommend that women go as early as they possibly can for shalom bayis issues, but not for real tevila bizmana mitzvah reasons. But if you hold tevila bizmana mitzvah, okay, so I understand you're going to make a bracha on the tevila because it's a mitzvah. But if you hold tevila bizmana lav mitzvah, why is there a bracha at all on the tevila? Okay, so you could say tevila bizmana is not a mitzvah, but tevila is still a mitzvah. You still got to go to the mikvah, that's still a mitzvah. Maybe, but maybe tevila is not a mitzvah at all. I mean, Pashto says tevila is not a mitzvah. What's tevila? A matir. That when you go to the mikvah, it makes her mutter, it makes her muteres, it makes her muteres labayla. It also makes her tahara. Those are two separate issues. The Kuzari is a famous passage about that. Two separate issues. It makes her tahara, it makes her muteres labayla. But it's not a mitzvah, so why is there a bracha on the tevila? Again, says Rav Schechter, maybe according to this yisod, it works out very well. That this birchas mitzvah is not a bracha on the maisa mitzvah of tevila, it's a bracha on the chalos that comes about because of the tevila. Particularly with tevila, this is helpful, because several Rishonim say that you don't make a bracha on tevila before the tevila, you make a bracha only after tevila. Tosos discusses this in Pesachim as well. So how do they explain it? Why would you make a bracha after the tevila? So they say, well, because by a tevilas hager, he can't make the bracha before, because he's not a Jew. So he can't say, Asher Kedushonim Tzolz V'Tzivanu. So once he can't say it before, because he's not a Jew, so we'll just say it after by the tevilas hager. And so we don't get confused, we'll make every other tevila just like tevilas hager. And other Rishonim say, what? How often does tevilas hager happen? I mean, we're going to make every other tevila, we're going to change every other the timing of the bracha for every other tevila because of tevilas hager? That's a little strange. But if you say that it's a bracha on the chalos, it's not strange at all. Because there's no din of over las yasan when it's a bracha on the chalos. There's only a din of over las yasan when it's a bracha on the maisa. Another example. Shchita. Is there any requirement to shecht an animal? So the halacha is, if you want to eat meat, the only way to make the animal mutter is by shechita, is by shechting it. But we make a bracha on shechita. The Rambam counts amongst the minyan of mitzvahs, amongst the mitzvahs I say in the Torah, the mitzvah of shechita. And the Ravitz said the mitzvah of shechita schulin, shechting stam, regular animals, basar taiva, shechting regular animals. And the Ravitz says, what kind of mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah, it's a matir. If you want to eat animals, if you want to eat meat, so you got to shecht it. But why is that a mitzvah? He says, ain't no time, there's no reason it should not be a mitzvah saseh. Now, the Rambam's raya might be, well, there is a bracha, right? If there's a bracha, isn't that an indication that there's a mitzvah? Meaning, al pi pshuto, it seems, maybe the Rambam will be molded to the Ravid that, no, there's no kiyum asay of doing shechita. But there's still a bracha on the shechita because it creates a chalos. It's no longer Eiver Menachai. There's a chalos din shachut on the behema. And that maybe explains the Taz. The Taz says every member of Klal Yisrael is shayich to that bracha of shechita because al kulam yesh iser. Everyone had the iser of Eiver Menachai before and now it becomes kosher meat according to everybody. So maybe that explains the bracha on shechita as well. And very similar to the bracha on Erisin and everything else. One more example before we close it up and go back. The bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah, Shorash Aleph, says Netilas Yadayim is Ein Mitzvasa B'chi of Klal. There's no requirement to actually do Netilas Yadayim. It's only that if you want to eat bread, you got to do Netilas Yadayim. Let's say a person wants to wash 10 times a day. He's trying to gain weight, so he wants to make sure he washes for bread 10 times a day. So, and he does 10 Netilas Yadayim. Is he a bigger tzaddik than a guy who only washes once a day? No. He's not doing more mitzvahs than a guy who washes once a day. It's a matir. It's a hechsher. It's avoiding an iser. It's a machshir for you to be able to eat bread. So why is there a bracha? Asher kid shalom b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. But again, it could be that this is the idea that it's a bracha on the chalos heter, that you now are able to eat bread. And finally, now let's bring it back to tefillin. So what did we say? According to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, a guy only has tefillin shel rosh. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Two brachos! Laniach and al mitzvahs. Maybe that's also based on this idea, that in addition to the maisa mitzvah of hanachas tefillin, there's another element of tefillin, that a person becomes a guf kadosh when he's wearing tefillin. Raya to that, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin, Poshe Yisrael begufan, are people who have a special onesh in Gehenna. Who is Poshe Yisrael Begufan? Karkafta de lo manach tefillin. A guy who doesn't have tefillin on his head, a skull that's not wearing tefillin. That's Poshe Yisrael Begufan. What a strange expression. Why don't you just say, Gavra shalohi niach tefillin? A guy who doesn't do the maisa of putting on tefillin. Karkafta de lo manach tefillin. A skull that doesn't have tefillin on it, that's the problem, that's the issue. That's Poshe Yisrael Begufan. Maybe this is alluding to the idea that there's a certain chalos kedusha when a person is wearing tefillin. In particular, tefillin shel rosh. And that's why it's karkafta. It's not an arm that's not wearing tefillin. Karkafta d'lo manach tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam does not say if you only have shel yad, you make two brachas. He says if you only have shel rosh, you make two brachas. One for the mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah of hanachas tefillin, and the other for the chalos kedusha that one has when he puts on the tefillin, when he keeps the tefillin on, and that second one would not have to be over las yasan. The first one would have to be over las yasan, but not the second one. Okay, we'll stop there. We only got to Rabbeinu Tam. But, right.